alarm for one. Then you can relieve me. Jamie got up from the chair thinking Stacy could take the director's job. She'd be good at it. Vijay was sitting at the galley table when Jamie left the comm center. He walked straight to her and she looked up at him with her big soulful eyes filled with... what, he wondered. Anxiety? Loneliness? Fear? And what's in my eyes? Jamie wondered as he extended his hand toward her. She took it in hers, rose from her chair, and walked wordlessly with him toward his quarters. What am I doing? Jamie asked himself. This isn't love. This isn't the kind of romantic moment that poets write about. It's need. We need each other. We're scared of this storm, of being so far from home, so far from safety. We need the comfort of another person, someone to hold on to, someone to hold me. They said hardly a word to each other as they stripped and got into Jamie's narrow bunk. Their lovemaking was torrid, as if all the rage and power of the storm had possessed them both. The first time, 10 nights ago, they had taken pains to be as quiet as possible. Not this night. Not with the wind wailing outside. Now they lay, languid, spent, thoughts drifting idly, all barriers down, all furies calmed. Should I tell her about Trumbo? He asked himself. There was no urgency in the thought. It simply rose to his consciousness dreamily, like a whisper struggling through a drug-induced haze. Jamie kissed Vijay's bare shoulder. She muttered something sleepily and snuggled closer to him. As he drifted toward sleep with Vijay's body warm and softly cupped next to him, he knew he would feel empty and alone without her, and afraid. Sharp, cold reality stabbed through him. You can't talk about love. You can't even think about it. Not here. Not under these conditions. You made that mistake last time, and it brought nothing but pain to you and Joanna. You can't expect Vijay to commit her life to you on the basis of what we're doing here. Which means, he heard himself reason, that you can't burden her with your problem about Trumbull. It's your problem, not hers. You've got to find the right path for yourself alone. Jamie turned slightly in the bunk and looked over at the glowing red numerals of the digital clock. Get some sleep. It's going to be 1 a.m. damned soon. The wind howled louder outside. To Jamie it sounded like the wild laughter of the trickster, Coyote. It was nearly midnight as Stacy returned to her chair in the comm center and set a plastic cup of hot tea on the console beside the main display screen. The wind was screeching outside, a thin, tortured wail like the distant howl of souls in hell. Methodically, she started checking all the dome's environmental systems again. With deliberate calm, Dezhurova tapped into the environmental monitoring display. Everything was normal in the dome, except for one of the air circulation fans, which had gone offline earlier in the day. She would attend to that in the morning, she told herself. She opened the program for the sensors that monitored environmental conditions in the garden dome. Before she could check them, though, the yellow light on the main communications console began blinking, and her screen showed incoming message. She grumbled to herself as she tapped at the keyboard. What does Tarawa want now? To her surprise, it wasn't Mission Control at Tarawa. Her comm screen showed the scratchy, static-streaked image of a bleary-eyed, tousle-haired Dex Trumbull. Dex could not sleep. He lay in his bunk, listening to the wind shrieking just inches away, hearing the iron-rich sand scratching at the rover's thin metal skin, feeling the storm clawing at the rover, trying to find a way inside, a loose latch, a slight seam, the tiniest of openings in the welds that held the rover's skin together. We would be dead in a minute, he knew. Or worse, buried alive under the sand with the electrical power gone, strangled to death when the air gives out. And we can't do anything about it. Just lay here and take it. Let the friggin' storm pound us and batter at us until it finds a way to kill us. He sat up abruptly, heart racing, chest heaving. He felt sweaty and cold at the same time. He had to urinate again. Peering through the darkness, he could make out in the faint glow from the instrument panel up in the cockpit the lumpy form of Craig, sleeping in the bunk on the other side of the module. Wiley lay on his back, mouth slightly open, snoring gently. Christ, he's as relaxed as a baby in its cradle, Trumbull thought as he slipped quietly out of his bunk. He padded barefoot to the lavatory, opposite the racks where the hard suits stood like ghosts in armor. Fear fills the bladder, Dex told himself, as he urinated into the stainless steel toilet bowl. This motherfucking storm scaring the piss out of me. It was his fourth trip to the toilet since he had gone to bed.
You all right, buddy?
Craig asked softly as he crawled back into his bunk. Yeah, Dex snapped. I'm fine.
Kind of noisy out there, ain't it?
It sure is. Don't let it spook you, kid. We're as safe as can be inside here. Dex knew Craig was trying to reassure him, calm him. He knew he should be grateful to Wiley. Instead, he felt angry that the older man had called him kid, and ashamed to be caught in his terror. The wind quieted a bit. The shrieking softened. Maybe it's over, Dex thought. Maybe it's winding down. He lay back on his sweat-soaked pillow and closed his eyes again. But the instant he did, the wind gusted again with a furious scream. Dex felt the rover rock. He bolted up to a sitting position and pounded the mattress with both fists, almost sobbing, "Leave me alone! Leave me alone! Go away and leave me alone! Please! Please! Please!" The wind continued to howl, though. If anything, it got louder. Blearily, he shuffled up to the rover's cockpit and slumped into the right-hand seat. "Let's see what's happening at the dome. Talk to somebody. Anybody. Take your mind off this mother-humping storm." Stacy's stolid, fleshy face filled the tiny screen on the control panel. The picture was streaked, grainy, but she looked surprised. "Dex?" "Yeah," he said softly, not wanting to wake Craig again. "Too noisy out here to sleep. How's everything there?" Dezhurova spoke with Dex for a few seconds, then realized that Trumbull merely wanted to chat because he could not sleep in the midst of the storm. Reception was weak. His video kept breaking up. Probably dust is piling up on his antennas, she thought. She kept on talking with him, but turned her real attention to the monitoring screens and continued checking the environmental conditions in the garden dome. Temperature below nominal, she saw. That should not be. Air pressure was falling, too. Her breath caught in her throat. Without even thinking about Dex still jabbering on the main comm screen, Stacy grabbed the loudspeaker mic and bellowed, "Emergency! The garden dome is ripping apart!" Dex gaped at the tiny comm screen. "Jamie, everyone, the garden dome is ripping apart," Dezhurova repeated, roaring like the crack of doom. "We need everyone, right now." Then the comm screen went dark. Dex sat in the rover's cockpit, icy sweat trickling down his ribs, staring at the dead comm screen. My God almighty, he thought, panting with mounting terror as he sat in the shadows. If the garden dome goes, the main dome could go too. Then we'd all be dead. Mitsuo Fuchida lay in his bunk, staring up into the darkness, listening to the wind and the accompanying creaks and groans of the dome. It's like being on a ship at sea, he said to himself, except that it doesn't rock. He had considered taking a tranquilizer before going to bed, but decided that he would not need one. He had looked death in the face back at the lava tube on Olympus Mons. This windstorm held no more terrors for him. Death will come or not, he thought. What cannot be controlled must be accepted. Still, he lay awake listening to the storm, thinking about Elizabeth, hoping that Rodriguez would live up to his promise and not reveal that he was a married man. Where is she tonight, he wondered. What is she doing now, at this moment? He began to build a pleasant fantasy about her, until he heard Stacy's shout, "Emergency! The garden dome is ripping apart! We need everyone, right now!" Automatically, he leaped out of bed, a stab of pain from his injured ankle shooting through his leg. Awkward with the bandaged ankle, Fuchida limped to the comm center. Jamie, Vijay, Rodriguez, and Trudy Hall were also hurrying there, each of them hastily pulling on rumpled coveralls as they ran. The garden dome has been punctured, Stacy said, jabbing a thick finger at the monitor screen. Camera view.